Welcome to SILRAP Podcasts. You are about to listen to a service of the Center for International Law Research and Policy.
Thank you very much, Vivian. It's very difficult to pick up where Professor Gordon has left, because indeed you've said it all. So what I will try more is focus on a few personal remarks, if I may say, not try to cover again a fantastic ground which we have gone over together. My basic remark would be, this was the right theme at the right time. Clearly, the moment is ripe to take a sort of step backwards and look at the international criminal justice in the perspective of power, because this is where a lot of the problems are now arising, and it cannot be escaped, whether we want it or not. There is a context, there is a content, and there is a perspective. It has to be addressed. Whether we have found a complete integrated picture, I honestly am not sure. I think we have put on the table a number of pieces of the jigsaw puzzle. We have actually also put a number of Rubik's Cube, which will have to be worked out. With some of which are extremely delicate and complicated. So what we have done is we have initiated a work in progress on a work in progress, which is international criminal justice. And I see in this, if I may say, in my mind, four major clusters coming out of this conference. The first one is that the ICJ is now a collection of institutions which have acquired substance. They are international organizations in their own right, with all the stickiness of those of being an international organization. It means you are submitted to the power plays of your constituents, which are still states, largely. Those constituents exercise their influence. They are not innocuous, they are active. And they have their own perspective, so there is a permanent tension between sovereignty and the greater ambition of creating something which would be an independent justice. And this was to be expected, but it is happening pretty much under our eyes, and we've had a number of very precise case studies put to us. So in this vein, there is a question of governance, clearly. How are those institutions to be made accountable, to be observed, and to be treated in a fair way so that the high ideals they carry remain achievable? We've had some very interesting, if I may say, academic conceptual approaches on this. We've had some more pragmatic, analytic approaches. We need a little bit of each. And I know that I don't have to encourage Morten to look at policy perspectives. It's his natural bent. But we're going to need some of this in the coming future. Indeed, we are now witnessing, in certain cases, an interesting combination of outside and inside forces which exercise control over given organizations, which is worth looking at and has been put on the in the public domain recently. Second cluster, international criminal justice is an evolving culture. It is about groups which have gained an identity and which have each of them their own strategy, their own perspective, and are interacting with each other within this broader domain of ensuring justice of major crimes, which are ugly things we should always bear in mind. So we have looked into the specific perspectives of the prosecutors, the judges, the legal bureaucracy — it exists as a bureaucratic system — the national bureaucracies, and we have also touched, we shouldn't forget about them, on the victims in different types of countries together. So what does emerge is that this culture is around the idea of justice, and this is new. This is a new dimension in the Machiavellian world, if I may say, which requires a specific assessment, a specific understanding. Sometimes we don't really necessarily have the tools to fully understand that. It's an area which is going to require some further elaboration. Third cluster, and I'm sorry because this is back to Machiavelli and others, the key state actors, the gentleman here on the left, are still there, and they're not going to go away tomorrow. And in fact, their future behavior and engagement is a key source of questioning in this power perspective we're in. Bizarrely, we've had quite a few cases where those state actors had a heavy hand, but we haven't said enough, and I'm sorry, this is my personal addition at this stage, that a lot of them has been under benign neglect mode. This thing has been initiated, let it run its course. We have other more pressing concerns. Junior bureaucrats are dealing with it. Well, not quite, indeed, because we have reached a very delicate moment in the history of the International Criminal Justice Project, which has already had quite a few, I realize, but maybe it's like the European Union, always in crisis in order to survive. But this is not an easy moment. There are countervailing forces coming up. There is a blowback coming up from certain countries, and there is a basic difficulty: where and how do you get cases to feed the machinery of justice? And unless a prosecutor can deliver cases and people under arrest, there is no more international justice. There is a nice empty shell which hibernates. So this is a major question. Many of the choices which were made early on have now run their course. The next choices have to come. Last point, and I think it's the most open and challenging and interesting. When and how does international justice become a force strong enough in collective conscience to have an input? In other words, not only through the social media we've heard about, but through the continued action of civil society, probably more diversified way than the established organizations that have sort of had a strong role so far. When does this come out? Because after all, we are evolving in a sort of global democracy of individuals which express their views and their preferences and their expectations. And the victims there also have an important role because there is you cannot escape when you see them in court or when you see them on the ground that this is a group which has enormous expectations and an enormous drive in preserving this project. So let us keep this dynamic potential. There are new forces emerging. They will have a role and play their role in terms of future power. I will stop this here and thank again Morten and all my colleagues. I've learned an enormous amount from all of you. There are Rubik's cubes, but there are also moments when you see the laser beam coming and you learn a lot. Thank you to all.
Thank you for listening. For more open access audio recordings, films, and publications, go to silrap.org.